I'll read one verse and you follow. Verse 13, Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. And to have authority to drive out demons. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the name of Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the verse, the scripture that we have today. In 1992, United States Olympic men basketball team, they call it a dream team because they include Michael Jordan from Bulls and Scottie Pippen, and also Magic Johnson from Laker, and Larry Bird from Celtics, Charlie Barkley from 76ers. And also one young man, actually he's not a professional, his name is Christian Leitner from Duke University. And that put these people together, they call it a dream team. And we won the Olympic gold. So everybody, when you want to coordinate and put something together into a team, you always try to get the best of the best to come up with that team. Today we're going to see what is the team of Jesus, or what the team Jesus has select. And we just read for those 12 people. The first one most of people are very familiar with is Peter. He's the one that always would love to be leader, be the first. His character is very pushing and aggressive, and he also got a quick temper. And when Jesus guided them for almost 2 years, and one day Jesus told the disciples, said, I need to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be suffering from those religion people and be crucified. And after 3 days, I'll be resurrected. And what our Peter respond? He even rebuked Jesus. He said, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Lord responded to him, say, get behind me, Satan. See, this is Peter. And then one day that Jesus was walking on the water toward the boat, the disciple on, and Peter saw Jesus there, so he kind of said, wow, if he can walk on the water, I can too. So he kind of jumped out the boat and then started to walk on the water. And he did. But once he saw the wave not aiming at Jesus, then he started to fall. And this is Peter. I try to picture Peter to you. And later, Jesus brought the disciple to we call Transfiguration Mountain. And when they got to the mountain top, Jesus started to change the appearance. And he became shining bright. And then there are another two persons showed up. One is Moses, and the other one is Elijah. And Jesus started to talk to them. And at that time, the Bible describes that Peter said he did not know what to say, yet he just go ahead and say something. And he said, Lord, let me put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. See, this is Peter. He did not know what to say, but he will say. And then the day very close to Jesus' crucifixion, when they got into Jerusalem, And one night, Jesus tried to wash disciples' feet. And then Peter came to Peter, close to Peter. Peter said, "No, you shall not never wash my feet." But Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter responded like, say, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. My whole body, you just wash me." So this is Peter, you know. And then Jesus took them to the Gethsemane. And Jesus sincerely asked them, especially those three disciples, say, "Could you stay with me? I need your support and pray with me." And three times Jesus came back and forth and Peter fell asleep. And this is Peter. And furthermore, we knew that he denied Jesus for three times again. Even after Jesus' resurrection in Antioch, at that time, Jesus already gave them all the commandment and the truth. But when Peter went to Antioch, he ate with Gentiles. But when the brothers from Jerusalem came, he kind of drew back and separated from those Gentiles because he felt embarrassing to eat with Gentiles. Because according to the old regulation or laws, Jews should not be having dinner or dining with any Gentiles. So he followed that instead of listening to the Lord's teaching. And that's Peter. And can you imagine that Jesus picked up Peter as the leader for the future? And this is your leader. And we can call Peter unstable Peter. Because a leader should not be always fluctuate and change, and you don't know which way to go. And he changed instantly. Anytime any incident happened, he just changed the direction that almost unpredictable. And let's come to James and John, because they are brothers. And they got hot temper. And Jesus gave them a nickname. Monagas. Monagas means sons of thunder. That means their temper is like an outburst in a very short moment. And when they saw a man driving out demons in Jesus' name, and they respond, these two brothers respond, say, "We try to stop him because he is not one of us." See, even though that person is serving the Lord and casting out the demons, but because only they are not one of us, they do not follow us, then we want to stop them. This is James and John. And when they get to the Jerusalem, they dispute among each other as to whom they should be the greatest. And they even walked to Jesus and said, "Well, could let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." And this is a personality. They so much care about their own position. And then they went into Jerusalem that there are a person that reject Jesus. And these couples say, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" And this is a son of thunder. And Jesus responds, say, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man do not come to destroy a man's life, but to save them." And this is thunderous John and James. Okay, we got another one is called Andrew. Andrew is a quiet, mild, and soft person. We can see in the Bible describe Andrew is actually he met Jesus, and after he was revealed that Jesus is the Messiah, he went back to his brother Peter immediately and tried to bring Peter to Jesus. And remember when Jesus tried to feed 5,000 men with five loaves of bread and two fish? Actually, it's this very Andrew. He found a boy, a young boy, with those five loaves of bread and two fish, the little one. And he brought the little boy to Jesus. And Jesus can perform the miracle to feed all the people. He brought the little one to Jesus. And the latter part that Andrew, with Philip, they brought a Greek to Jesus. So actually, this Andrew is very, very good team member. He loved his family and members. Actually, there is a gap, actually, even inside our family, our loved ones. But there is a gap. This gap is very, very strange. We are so close, sometimes we are so far away. And this is called intimacy gap. He overcome. And also he brought the little kid to Jesus. He overcome generation gap. And he even bring in the Greeks. He overcome cultural gap. So for our Andrew, for our CIA project, it's similar to Andrew. We need to overcome, intimacy gap, generation gap, and cultural gap. Boy, this is a very, very good one that any church pastor would love to see their member like Andrew. And I call him Sweet Andrew. And then next one is Philip. Philip, actually, he also went to introduce Nathanael. Actually, we call it Bartholomew. He's the one who brought Nathanael to Jesus. But he did ask a question. He asked Jesus, say, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. He is very logical. See, if a church full of logical people, sincerely logical people, we're going to get into big trouble. And he wants to ask Jesus to show Father, the God, Father, to him. And his face is kind of treated like material. He look into the face as like material. And this is very practical, Philip. And then we will talk about another one. It's called Bartholomew or Nathanael. The biblical teachers say they are probably the same person. And actually, it's Philip when Andrew went to Nathanael and tried to introduce Nathanael to Jesus. And he tried to explain to Nathanael. And he answered like this. He said, Jesus is coming from Nazareth. And he responded immediately, said, Nazareth, can anything good coming from there? Have you ever been humiliated like this? That your hometown, they call no good thing, no good stuff ever coming from that place. That is the response to Jesus. Because Jesus was raised in Nazareth. So I called him arrogant Bartholomew. He's arrogant. And then the next one is in the team is Matthew. And we know that his name was Levi. He was working for Roman Empire. Actually, is the Jews' enemy. He got a bad record and background. And later, when Jesus called him, kind of drop all his career and then follow Jesus. So I call him repentant Matthew. And this is also in the team. And the next one is Thomas. He is a suspicious and doubtful mind. He asks a couple questions about Jesus. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And this is actually the initiated question that brought in that very, very famous words to us. It say, "Lord, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life." But he asked, because Thomas asked, if we don't know where you are going, how can we know the way? The suspicious mind. And even after Jesus' resurrection, he didn't see Jesus. And the disciple came to him and tell him, they saw Jesus. And his response is, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nail were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. He is suspicious about everything. So I call it suspicious Thomas. Suspicious. Sometimes pastors spend a lot of time with people with suspicious mind because eager to try to solve the problem. Why you have so many doubts? And actually, I found these people are kind of pop up one question, and you almost try to finish the answer. He brings in another question. So one after one, and you kind of changing nowhere. So this is very, very consuming type of person, but in Jesus' team, Thomas. And then there's another one called James. And this one, I trace all the Bible. I hardly find him. So I call him insignificant James. I couldn't find him. Only the time that ever found him is when Jesus was crucified. They called little James. That is probably the one I can find him. And then another one is called Thaddeus. This one is, he did ask question. He said, "Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" So he is questionary James. This is another James. Okay, and then the next one is Simon, the zealot. The zealot means actually it's in a party. And that party is very unique one. It's that party group members, they are using violence, fierce violence against Roman Empire. They will take any action against Roman people or even their soldiers. And actually in the history, that party was kind of totally killed in one battle against Roman Empire. So that was very famous. And that party actually using violence against Roman Empire, but also they take a very severe action against their own people, the Jews, if that person leaning toward Roman Empire. So you remember one of the members working for Roman Empire. Who is that? Matthew, right? So these two put together in the same team, you could imagine what kind of problem will come out. And I call it fanatic Simon. And the last one we know, that is traitor Judas. And actually, they always call Judas Iscariot. Iscariot actually is a town name, Iscariot. But that town now, it's become a term. It's called betrayer. Could you imagine if you were born in a town, and now where you came from? I came from Iscariot. That means you are the betrayer town. That is how bad this guy in the team. And actually, Jesus gave the money or money back to Judas and let him manage the finance. And that is, could you imagine if a member in the team that managed money is a traitor, what would happen? And could these 12 people become a dream team? I would say yes, a dream, but it's a nightmare. See, we ourselves, we want to develop for ourselves and also for our future. So we may try to strengthen our own, and maybe through the marriage and family, we hope our family become a team. Maybe we move into the job or career, then we hope our career, we will find a good team to develop, to become prosperous or become strong. Maybe you can even extend further to the society or to the country. Of course, including the church too. You want to grow, so you are a part of the growth. You want to be successful. That is why, you know, your parents spend so much time upon you. Why? It's because they want you to be successful, to become a good and valuable member of the team. But if handed to you this team, though these 12 to you, what's the future you will see? Is it a bright future or can be a disaster one? So we need to think about it. But now, year 2012, we look back. Actually, 2012, we look at the churches in the whole world. It's still growing, prosperous, bring hope to the world. But it started from these 12 people. How can it be? I look up the length or the period of any dynasty into Chinese dynasty. The longest one lasts only 800 years. In the latter part of the dynasty, actually, it's all kinds of chaos. People suffer a lot. So it didn't really turn our hope to those people. But look at these 12. It doesn't look any future at that time. So we need to find out what happened. That, let's call enterprise or a company or a group or a party, whatever you call them. But they last so long. Their career lasts even 2,000 years and continue to grow. There must be some secret. There should be some principle, and that is valuable to us, to you, if you really mean something for your own life, for your future. If you can apply those principles to your own, they're going to be a big benefit. See, for the basketball dream team, everybody's the best. It can be easy, just don't let them get fight among each other, then you should work it out well. But what happened to these 12 people? Is it because Jesus gave them authority to drive out demons? Or maybe gifted them, have the healing power for the illness? Is it a way that make this team last 2,000 years? Or Jesus sent them out to preach because they can always bring in impressive sermons and message to the people around them? Is that a real principle or the secret? Maybe these two, if a church tried to get a training to develop the church, maybe these two are the most significant effort we will try. We'll maybe equip everybody and let your spiritual gift really well train. Then you can serve many people, so many people will come. Is this the real principle? But we need to see actually the most one actually in that verse say Jesus want them what? To be with him. Actually, this is the real center, to be with him. If you want to serve your family, serve your group, you try all kinds of skills. You should spend some time for that. But the real one is what? Spend time with Jesus. If we want to serve in the church, actually, what effectiveness of your ministry is based on how long you spend time with Jesus. That is the secret. And furthermore, we will see from the verse we mentioned here, verse 14, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He wants them to be with him first, and then he will send them out for the ministry. So this is the order. If you don't spend time with him, the rest of them will eventually go in vain. But we look into the verse 13. This is very important. The latter part said, he went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. Called to him those he wanted. That means totally 100% based on his willingness. If he call you, that is the most important thing. Have you ever got his call? We should verify that. Then you have no doubt in the future. If he ever calls you, if he call you, then what left is totally based on him. He will take the full responsibility. So the calling, you know, our message title is called the anticipation from gracious calling. That is for you. If ever Jesus call you, that is a gracious calling. And he may touch your heart sometime, maybe through some people's testimony, maybe through a hymn, maybe through message, maybe during your Bible study. He will touch your heart and knock your door and say, I'm calling you. You are the one. Come to me. So you need to be sensitive. If ever you receive that invitation, you need to come to him. And you know what? If you answer that calling, your whole life, he take the responsibility and he take fully. So whatever happened, he will responsible. He will be responsible for you. And that is why we can have peace in our mind, in our heart. But do we need to pay the price? Do we? You will see the very beginning said Jesus went up on the mountainside. See, last Sunday we talked about Jesus. Do you remember where Jesus talked to the audience? Do you remember? He got into a what? A boat. So that means he was at what? At the lake or the sea, right? So that is sea level. And now where he is going? He go to what? Mountaintop. So from sea, and then the plain, and then the hilly places, and then to the mountain. So the longer he walk, the less people follow, right? Right? So the only thing he requires is what? Follow him faithfully. No matter what, I will follow you. See, this is the choice he made. Jesus select. Are you still following me? That's the answer. That's a question for you And you should know, if you continue faithfully to follow, one day he will call you. So this is a very mutual way. See, our faith, our belief is mutual. You and Jesus, you need to interact. And then the response, you will start to see. The relationship will grow and grow if you continue to follow. And they follow him from the sea, the plain, the hilly place, and then to the mountain. And that is the way that we can learn. So maybe someday you think about, is there any value that I read the Bible every day? I pray every day. Seems not big deal happen. It matters. He knows. He knows. And one day he will call you. And once you got that call, you respond right away. See, the more I serve the Lord, I start to realize. At the beginning, I thought, I will get, you know, whenever I'm available, I will serve you. That was in the past. Now it's totally changed. Not because I become the full-time servant. I serve our Lord almost from the very beginning. But the very beginning, my attitude was, if I'm available, if I feel good, if I think this is beneficial to me, I will serve. That was me. But later I changed. I started to realize. A brother gave me a very vivid description about how we serve the Lord. He described, if Jesus using his foot and kick a bucket to me, I should bow down right away and pick up the bucket and follow him. Because why? Because this is my privilege. This is my very privilege. I would say, thank you, Jesus. You even want to kick this bucket to me, not to somebody else. But I'll pick it up. I'll follow you. And you know what? Once you pick up that bucket, boy, that bucket, you're going to take, you're going to keep all the blessing from him. That is how I sense. He's so faithful. An amazing thing happened in me and in my family. That is just, I cannot believe that surely happened to me. The day I accept the Lord, at that time, I don't know much about the Bible. But I started to, because at that time I was a graduate student in the University of Iowa. And we have because we are kind of RA, a research assistant, so we got office. We got our own place in the cubic. And right after I received the Lord, I start to witness to my classmate, or roommate, actually, is an office mate, I would put it that way. Everyone, I just try to bug them and try to tell them about my experience. And very very soon then I got graduated, so I moved to Tucson. And the company I work, they work 4.5 days. That means Friday afternoon is off. I can leave the office. And then my office is very near the University of Arizona. So I find a list or a directory of all the students from Taiwan. So I, based on those addresses, I knock the door and I try to tell them my experience. I didn't mean to tell them any theology or any big deal, Bible stuff. I just try to tell them that my experience, how great I experienced that. And actually, at that time, I was not baptized. But I tried to tell them. And about 2 months, there's a student. I asked him, I said, would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord? And he said, yes. So I said, okay, I'll pray and you follow me. And at that time, I was not baptized. But I didn't know. I need to be baptized then to preach the gospel or what? I don't know. There's no principle or rule for me. But just because something happened here, I cannot stop it. I need to pass on the message. And I prayed a prayer. And that guy was poor, you know, poor guy, because I started to cry. So he thought something happened wrong to him because he must have done something not good to me. So I started crying, but he didn't understand. But this is the way. Because I faithfully follow what he asked me inside. And you know what happened? My parents in Taiwan, they were not Christian. And because I cannot go back and tell them about my testimony, so I called them by phone. 3 years later, all my family became Christian. He did something that beyond my comprehension. Beyond my comprehension. Wow, that's the biggest blessing that ever one can receive from the Lord, the whole family. I'm not able, at that time, I'm not able to go back to Taiwan to really help them, but he sent people that I don't know, but he did. Young man, you still have a way to come and to run. Why not join his team if he ever calls you? And follow him all the way, from the ocean all the way to the top of mountain. And you will hear and you will see what this gracious calling for you. And me, it's about almost 30 years from that very day he called me. Not single one day, not single one moment ever regret. The only regret is why this not come to me earlier. That is Jesus. Let us pray.